is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. An Israeli airstrike on Gaza's school compound, housing displaced families, killed around 100 people. That's according to the Hamas-run Gaza government Saturday. AP correspondent Lawrence Brooks.
This building in Gaza City used to be a school. Then it was a shelter. Now it's just rubble. An Israeli airstrike hit the building on Saturday morning, killing at least 80 people. It's one of the deadliest strikes in the 10-month-old war between Israel and Hamas. Now concrete chunks and twisted metal lay atop a blood-soaked floor. The Israeli military has acknowledged the strike, claiming it's hit a Hamas command center within the school, something Hamas denied. One witness says the strike hit without warning before sunrise, as people were praying at a mosque inside. The strike comes as American, Qatari, and Egyptian mediators renew their push for a ceasefire agreement. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
Debbie finally moved out of the United States, though risk from flooded rivers remains. AP's Julie Walker.
Parts of the Northeast were left with major flooding after Tropical Storm Debbie made its final stop before leaving the U.S. Westfield, Pennsylvania resident Cindy Pierce.
We lost everything down that swimming pool, kids, swing set. But our house is safe and we're safe. That's all that matters.
Debbie came ashore as a hurricane in Florida Monday before being downgraded. Officials say the death toll is at least 9, most in vehicle accidents or from fallen trees. I'm Julie Walker.
Russia has announced increased security measures in the border regions of Kursk. An incursion there this week by Ukrainian forces caught Russian troops off guard and exposed its military vulnerabilities in the nearly 2.5-year war. More at VOAnews.com. This is VOA News. Anti-racism demonstrators gathered on Liverpool's waterfront Saturday, counter-protesting after nearly 2 weeks of anti-immigration protests and rioting across England. Jackie Bell does not want more violence in her city.
It's really important that we come out and show that we are a united city. This city will not tolerate violence. You can take all the politics out of it, but ultimately, I don't want my city ransacked by thugs.
Demonstrators carried signs welcoming refugees, calling for open borders and opposing what they see as racism and Islamophobia in the anti-immigration protests, which broke out in late July. Protests were sparked by online posts falsely identifying the suspected killer of 3 young girls in a knife attack on July 29th in Southport, Northwest England, as an Islamist migrant. Indonesian officials visited the country's new capital on Saturday to ensure the city was ready for its first cabinet meeting and upcoming 79th Independence Day. VOA's Alexis Stroh with more.
The Deputy Minister for Agrarian Affairs and Spatial Planning and the head of the city's task force made final checks on water supply and infrastructure ahead of the celebrations on August 17th. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has been rushing to complete as much of the new capital as possible before he steps down in October, despite Nusantara facing multiple construction delays, a lack of foreign investment, and managerial and land issues. Carved out of jungle on the tropical island of Borneo, the $32 billion infrastructure project is located about 1,200 kilometers from the current capital, Jakarta. I'm Alexis Strobe, VOA News.
Tens of thousands of protesters have rallied in downtown Belgrade against lithium mining in Serbia. That's despite official warnings that the demonstration on Saturday was an alleged plot to topple populist President Aleksandar Vučić and his government. He said earlier that he had been tipped off by Russian intelligence services that a mass unrest and a coup were being prepared in Serbia by unspecified Western powers. Organizers of the protests have said that the protests would be peaceful. The rally in the downtown of the capital comes after weeks of protests against the mining in cities throughout Serbia. Mexican drug lord Ismael El Mayo Zambada has said that he was ambushed and kidnapped when he thought he was going to meet the governor of the northern state of Sinaloa. He said in a 2-page letter released Saturday by his lawyer that he was taken against his will into the United States. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.